Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill-sponsored Scottish Sun Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. Joining me in our Glasgow HQ today is my esteemed colleague, David Frail. Are you well, David?
I'm good, Derek. Take a few days off and all hell breaks loose, but apart from that...
Straight back into it, so to speak, David. I mean, it's been another remarkable few days for Rangers, David. Stunning departure of Mark Warburton on Friday night and the manner of it, followed by an explosive statement from the chairman, Dave King. The game yesterday, the Scottish Cup fifth round tie against Morton at Ibrox yesterday, which they've managed to squeeze through under the caretakership of Graham Murty. First of all, just on a general level, David, what have you made of what's happened since Friday night?
I'm not surprised that Mark Warburton isn't the Rangers manager anymore. I'll be honest about that. I didn't ever think Mark Warburton, but we're talking 18 months he lasted. I never ever felt Mark Warburton was at Rangers for a long haul. I just didn't get the feeling. I just didn't ever think he was overly comfortable in the position, and vice versa. I just didn't think it was ever going to be a long-term thing for various reasons, but I was quite surprised at the way it all unfolded on Friday and everything that's happened since, and both sides obviously having their say to an extent, and you're hearing more and more about it. So I'm surprised in the way it's all come out at the end and all ended finally, but I'm not overly surprised that Mark Warburton's away.
I think everyone accepted, or had really begun to accept, there was a case of when Warburton would go, but I think certainly just suddenly at 9 o'clock on Friday night it's announced he's gone. You know, remarkable.
Yeah, it was, and obviously
he's done the press conference earlier in the day as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones, and then everything that happened after it as well. You know, obviously you're writing the story for Saturday's paper with quotes from Mark Warburton basically saying, I've not resigned. So it led to a kind of element of drama, farce as well. It was, let's be honest about it, about Rangers saying he's resigned, he saying he's not resigned. Then it was Dave King's statement on Saturday which added a bit more probably clarity to it. But even then there's a lot going on behind the scenes, you know, there's, with the LMA involved and everything. So I think this will run and run, but it was a very dramatic way for Rangers to lose a manager in the end.
David, you've been in journalism long enough, you've seen plenty of storylines, you know, sensational, bizarre, bewildering, however you want to call it. When you see the statement from Dave King, the chairman out in South Africa, were you surprised at how explosive it was and how detailed it was in terms of a character assassination of Mark Warburton?
Yeah, I mean, I do think the original Rangers statement was very detailed as well, to be honest with you. It didn't really leave a lot to that, you know. It basically made everything quite clear as to what had happened, but Dave King's statement just followed up. I mean, I can't remember the chairman, de facto owner of a club, being so savage in the way he spoke about a kind of manager that's gone. In terms of, he basically made it clear as he wasn't happy with the job he was doing, he wasn't happy with the signings, he wasn't happy with where Rangers were, and he wasn't happy with Mark Warburton's conduct, basically. You know, accusing him of various different things, of using Rangers as a stepping stone, of wanting to go to England, other stuff as well. It was very, very detailed and very, you know, a real break from the usual kind of, you know, I don't
know, thank him for his services and wish him well for the future.
Yeah. You know, how many club statements do you see like that? Dave King was very, very detailed. And it's clear all wasn't well. As you're saying, I think over the last few weeks, there was always a sense that this is probably coming to an end. You know, you've seen managers before, where you just know things are coming to an end. And I think Mark Warburton, a lot of his kind of public, his press conferences, some of the stuff he started talking about in terms of the random nature of football and all that sort of stuff, it just didn't really stack up, you know. And if Celtic had lost four games and Rangers had won an extra one, the gap would only be 10 points. Well, that's football doesn't work that way, you know, that's not real life. So I do think there was a sense it was getting to the end, but Dave King basically made it clear, that he was not happy at all with the job Mark Warburton was doing at Rangers, and therefore, although it was a resignation, did not resign, all that sort of stuff, I don't think there was going to be a long term future for him there anyway.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored Scottish Sun Football Podcast. David, we revealed on Saturday that Alex McLeish, former manager of course, former very successful manager at Rangers 2001 to 2006, is the favourite to come in now. What's your take on Big Ek and his credentials for the job, even if it's only just the end of the season?
I think he makes sense for Rangers just now in a way, because Rangers want someone who has knowledge of the club, has knowledge of the Scottish game, who's been there and done it, who will be able to handle the pressures, handle the media side of it, the PR side of it. So I do think that in that sense he does tick all the boxes. He's a vastly experienced manager, he's been Scotland manager, he's been Rangers manager, Hibs, down in England, various jobs. So I don't think it would be daunting at all for him. He's a safe pair of hands to an extent. Long term, is that the way Rangers want to go down? I'm not so sure. You know, Dave King released another statement on Monday talking about they've got a long term view of where the club should be going. You keep hearing about director of football maybe getting appointed somewhere along the line in the next few months, whoever that may be. Would Alec McLeish be able to work with the director of football long term? I'm not so sure. I think if you're getting a director of football, it has to be more of a head coach. Mm-hmm. But in the short term, for somebody to steady the ship, come in, you know, get back to the basics, try and get Rangers to finish second ahead of Aberdeen, and obviously Rangers are now in a quarter final of the Scottish Cup. I think Alec McLeish makes perfect sense. I think Billy Davis would as well, to be honest with you. I think he would fit the bill too, but I think Rangers just need an experienced guy at the helm right now.
Yeah, he ticks just about every box in that respect, David, doesn't he? I mean, he's got presence, he's got a stature. Of course, not all of his managerial jobs since he left Rangers have you know, particularly gone well, but no. I mean, he won a major trophy at Birmingham. His last job was in Genk in Belgium. You know, he's well connected. By and large, I think he's well liked, and I think he's always known as somebody that's good at man management. You would think that's probably ideal with a squad right now.
Yeah, exactly. And
a motivator.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't know long term if Rangers would want to go down Alec McLeish route. I don't know if they would want to, you know, that type of manager. I don't know if he fits the bill, you know, in terms of what Dave King's inferring towards the way he wants Rangers to go. But I think needs must right now, and they need a short-term fix. Rangers, they need someone in there who, as you're saying, you know, a real safe pair of hands, a guy who knows what it's all about. And Alec McLeish, to me, was perfect.
And I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, given the call or given the invitation to come, that Alec McLeish would hesitate.
No, I think, I mean, he made it clear on Sky. I mean, it was quite fortuitous for Sky yesterday that Alec McLeish is on to do the punditry for the Rangers-Morton game, and he made it clear that he would be more than happy to come in and do it. And, you know, and I don't see any reason why not. Well, in February, there's still, what, 14, 15 games to go in the league. There's a Scottish Cup as well. I think, you know, for 3 or 4 months, I think Alec McLeish would be more than happy to do it.
Given how well Celtic are at the moment, they're a juggernaut, seemingly unstoppable. Whether it's Alec McLeish or anyone else, does it, in terms of getting closer to Celtic, could any manager right now somehow get close between now and the end of the season?
I think it's going to be hard. I do think a manager could maybe come in and simplify things slightly. You know, Martin Wycorn, I thought his stuff in today's paper, where he spoke about the changes that Mark Warburton made, players were in, players were out, there was this 4-3-3. There wasn't really a lot of flexibility in the way Rangers played. You know, I thought it was fascinating yesterday that Graham Murphy for the last 20-25 minutes just went to a 4-4-2. You know, it's the first time I've seen Rangers play 4-4-2 in I don't know how long. It was almost like, you know, it just shows you can be a little bit flexible. And I think looking back at Mark Warburton's reign, I know it's not really, because everything that's happened, there's not really been a kind of proper look back and where it all went wrong and all that sort of stuff. But to me, that was one of his big problems. Rangers never ever changed the way they were going to play. Everybody knew how they'd play 4-3-3. You know, he'll speak about the midfield three has been different. It was a 4-3-3. And I think a manager will come in and simplify it, make Rangers a bit harder to beat away from home, especially in the games. You know, games coming up at Pittodrie, games coming up at Tynecastle, Celtic Park. Rangers need to be a bit harder to beat than they have been so far. And I think a manager like McLeish should be able to do that.
Well, I was just about to say that first and foremost, Rangers have to ensure they get second place. But, you know, you've still got at least 2 Old Firm games to come up. You know, the next one's at Parkhead next month, and then after the split, there'll be Ibrox. Potentially a Scottish Cup meeting between between them. Could somebody like Alec McLeish, in those derby games, restore some credibility for Rangers? Is that possible? Is it realistic? Is he capable of doing that?
I mean, I think he's capable of getting the reaction from the Rangers players and improving Rangers. I do think Celtic are way out ahead just now. You know, I just think Celtic against every team, I think they still look motivated. I think, you know, I mean, we'll touching Celtic later on, but I do think there is a gap between the teams. The last game of the season will be at Ibrox, the league game. You never know. You just never know. The one, Celtic were the better team at Ibrox last time, but Rangers did have a couple of chances towards the end. Could have probably got a point there. So you just never know. But I think in terms of trying to bridge a gap to a huge extent the last 3 or 4 months of the season, I think that'd be pretty hard to do.
From a long term possibility, if we're accepting, David, that the focus of the Rangers chairman Dave King and his board for the moment is an interim appointment, if we're looking at a long term successor, and it isn't, say, Alec McLeish, do we look beyond Derek McInnes? Is he the obvious standout candidate, or do you see anyone else?
I do think Derek McInnes is an obvious candidate, I do. But I don't think he's the only one by any means. You know, for me, I said it the other day on Twitter, I think Tommy Wright is as good a manager in Scottish football just now out with Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers, obviously, a top-class manager who's doing unbelievable things with Celtic. But in terms of the managers elsewhere, I think Tommy Wright is right up there.
I would agree.
He's very... I mean, I spoke about a Rangers manager coming in short-term to simplify things. Tommy Wright is very good at simplifying things. He had a bad result on Saturday, Partick Thistle at home for St Johnstone, but he's won a Scottish Cup in the past. He's got a decent record in Europe.
They've never failed to make the top six, St Johnstone.
Always make the top. They punch above his weight, can get a reaction from players, signs well. You know, players like him, players respect him. He's got that kind of hard streak about him as well. I think Tommy Wright in Scotland has every bit as good a claim to the job as Derek McInnes. Derek McInnes, again, has shown at Aberdeen that he can build a team, he can build a squad. His signings have been pretty good, by and large. I think he's got good contacts down south as well. I think he's looked... he probably not looked at the foreign market as much, but maybe that's just down to Aberdeen's finances and maybe the structure behind the scenes at the club. But Derek McInnes, again, has played for Rangers. He knows what it's about, and I think he would do a good job as well. But I don't think Tommy Wright should be discounted if he's just looking in Scotland for contenders.
I would definitely agree with you, David. I think Tommy Wright has long since earned the right for a bigger opportunity, with the greatest of respect to St Johnstone. You know, if we're looking at qualities in a manager, I think he's outstanding. He's got the presence, he's got the know-how, he's clearly got the man management skills. I think he's got an eye for a player, as he's shown in a very limited budget at St Johnstone, and through all, you know, he's brought success, the level of success that most St Johnstone fans really couldn't expect. I just wonder, are you intrigued in any way by the kind of Frank de Boer kind of element that emerged over the weekend?
Yeah, and I do. What I was going to say in terms of the Tommy Wright, Derek McInnes, you know, I spoke about obvious Scottish candidates or Scottish based candidates. I do have an inkling and a feeling, given this director a football thing won't go away, in terms of Rangers maybe changing the structure, and Dave King mentioning how Rangers do have an idea where they want to go long term. Mm-hmm. I think if Rangers go up around that director of football model, then I think the coach has to come afterwards, and I think a coach has to be a head coach, as opposed to a manager. For me, Tommy Wright's a manager. For me, Derek McInnes is a manager.
Yeah.
I think if Rangers go down that route, they would seek to appoint someone in a director of football position first, and then appoint a head coach. I don't think you can have just, here's your manager, and by the way, there's a guy you're going to have to work with as director of football. I think there has to be a link there, and I think everybody has to be on board with what's happening. So I wonder whether Rangers would maybe potentially put an interim manager, say Alec McLeish for example, appoint a director of football with a long-term view, and then a head coach comes after it. That would be my claim.
Certainly, if we were looking at it cynically, and they were maybe considering an appointment that wasn't just strictly from a footballing point of view, if there was a box office element to it, I mean, Frank de Boer would sure get the Rangers fans excited, and particularly if there was also a suggestion that his brother Ronald would be coming in tow as well. Two former Rangers players, brilliant names in football.
Yeah, I mean, and Frank de Boer as well would be, he would fit into that model, because in Holland, the director of football head coach model has worked. He's worked in Italy as well, and I think he would fit into that model as well. What these guys have also got in their favour is they're available. Mm. You know, Billy Davis is that in his favour too. Alec McLeish has it in his favour.
Good point.
And Frank de Boer, there's no compensation involved. I don't know the ins and outs of Derek McKenzie's contract, for example, but I don't think it would be cheap to get him from Aberdeen.
No.
So I think guys who are out of work, and listen, there'll be a million coaches out there queuing up to take the Rangers job. There would be, of course there will be, but I do think the guys that are available have maybe a little bit of a head start, just in the sense that there's no compensation involved.
I mean, Frank de Boer, of course, was sacked by Inter Milan, his last position, you know, at the kind of start of the season. But prior to that, had phenomenal success at Ajax. And, you know, should Rangers possibly look at, you know, think out the box, so to speak? I mean, somebody like Frank de Boer would also bring such a profile to the club. And clearly there's financial issues at the club. just now. But somebody like Frank de Boer would give that kind of more of a kind of, I don't know if saying global would be over the top, but the profile that it would bring Rangers and the attention could potentially be very lucrative for them as well, you would think?
Yeah, and I also think in terms of scouting and unearthing gems, which is something Rangers need
connections.
To do, you know, because I think, you know, again, you know, Dave King spoke about the transfers and spoke about this and spoke about that and getting value for money. I don't think Rangers in the time under Mark Warburton have developed enough assets in the sense that who is worth a lot of money. We spoke about this before in previous podcasts. Who in the Rangers squad is worth a lot of money just now? Who has been signed and been developed to an extent where Rangers could go and get £2-3 million for them? I don't really see anybody, to be perfectly honest with you. And I think that's been a failing. I think that's something that Rangers need to start doing because, you know, obviously the financial issues are well documented, the Mike Ashley thing. Scottish football doesn't make you that much money. European football will, but Rangers are going to have to get through 8 qualifiers in the summer.
Of course,
8 qualifiers.
Whoever they bring in, they're, you know, they're kind of hamstrung with this Mike Ashley grip on the retail arm, which is obviously a massive issue for Rangers, but, you know.
That's what I'm saying in terms of Europa League. Europa League can maybe make £7-8 million, but you're going to have to get through the group stages, which means somebody's going to have to come in and negotiate 8 qualifiers.
Yeah.
So this whole thing about European football suddenly being an influx of money, that's a bit of a red herring unless you get to the group stages, which isn't going to be easy. So I do think Rangers need to almost self-finance in the sense of players, get players in that are worth money, develop them on. I think Mark Warburton hope that would be the case with Matt Crooks and Josh Windass and Jordan Rossiter. Guys like that, it's not really happened. You know, Jordan Russell has been injured, Windass has been okay, Matt Crooks is already gone, Joe Doudou's not been seen. These are guys that he maybe felt, get them in for buttons, develop them on, but it's not happened.
And by the way, if you're looking, if we just return briefly to the Dave King statement and the element of the board unhappiness with the recruitment record from last summer, quite honestly, I think most people will agree with that, David.
The recruitment record is, you know, it's...
You know, it's been poor, really poor.
I don't think you can disagree with that. And even, to be honest with you, even the first transfer window got Rangers through the Championship pretty easily. Okay, there was bumps in the road, but, you know, Mark Warburton maybe signed, I don't know, 12, 13 players. Guys like Martin Wycombe, James Tavernier, Wes Fotheringham, Rob Kiernan, Danny Wilson were more than good enough to get Rangers out of the Championship. That wasn't an issue. But even those guys, are any of those guys worth any money really now?
Well, the thing is, if we're just going back to last summer, you know, the players that have cost Rangers the most have been, you know, disastrous. Joey Barton, Michael O'Halloran, Joe Gardner. You know, they've cost between them good fees, good wages, shocking return. You know, so in that respect, I don't think there's very few people that can argue that Dave King and the directors have a right to be angry and indeed to put Mark Warburton and Frank McParland under severe scrutiny for those.
And that's why I think the next manager that comes in or the next head coach that comes in or the director of football will be given that task, basically generate value, get value, get guys for a couple hundred grand and turn them into £3 million players. I know it's maybe easier said than done, but clubs do it. You know, if it means going and getting a guy for $1 million that you think in a year's time he'll be worth $5 million, that is something Rangers are going to have to do sooner rather than later to start generating money.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the William Hill-sponsored Scottish Sun Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm talking to my football writing colleague, David Frail. And David, my understanding from the squad meeting on Saturday morning at the Rangers training ground with the managing director, Stuart Robertson, the finance director, Andrew Dixon, it was made clear to the players that the caretaker, Graham Murty, who's been development coach as well, could be in charge for up to 4 weeks. Do you find that realistic? Would you be surprised if that was the case?
I'd be surprised. I don't think there's any need for... I mean, Graham Murty, you know, I thought he spoke well on Sunday. He did his job on Sunday. You know, it can't be easy for him to take over, especially as he spoke about Mark Robertson on his interview panel, and suddenly he's having to fill his shoes with all the drama and all the kind of bad feeling that his departure left. But I don't really see any reason why Graham Murty should have to be fast-tracked to that position and put under that kind of pressure and stress, because, you know, he's a young coach learning his trade. He's doing a very good job, I think, with the Rangers under-20s, and it's a very young Rangers under-20s team, but, you know, there are enough candidates. We spoke about them, Alec McLeish, Billy Davis, etc., who can come in
now.
Straight away right now. So
yeah.
I don't really see... I'd be very, very surprised if Rangers don't make an appointment with him by Thursday, Friday this week.
David, Brendan Rodgers made clear over the weekend that while Celtic, as I say, are like a juggernaut at the moment, 27-point lead, 3 games from potential treble, he's not for easing up. David, you know, Brendan Rodgers has made it clear that he would love to win the league by 50 points. Could that happen? Is that folly? Or is there kind of tongue-in-cheek by him? Is that essentially the message from him just being... no easing up here?
He said that's what he's not going to stop, and he won't stop, because if you look at, I mean, if Celtic have 70 points from 24 games this season.
Phenomenal.
I looked at last season, Celtic won the league with 86 points, so they've got 14 games to get, what, 17 points, which would break last season's tally. I mean they could do it in 6 or whatever, 5-6. I think Celtic could easily break the 100 point record this season, not a problem. I just don't see them easing up, and I think what Brendan Rodgers is doing is he's using his squad very well. You know, you see most players now are getting game time, and they're so desperate to stay in the team.
They've got to perform.
So, for example, Svitchenko was out for a few games, now he's back in. Simeonovic got rested at the weekend. Boyata has been a revelation since he came back in.
Nadir Chiefchi's already starting to
feature. Liam Henderson's been in the last few weeks. Carl McGuire had been in, but you've got Stuart Armstrong coming back. You've had Forrest Roberts switching around, and Bailey, the little rest, the wee injury. He's back in, scored 6 goals in 2 games. You know, Beaton's been a different player in the last couple of weeks. You know, he looks like a guy who's really had a kick up the backside.
Is this simply a case of a very good manager expertly managing his squad?
I think Brendan Rodgers has always been very clear that it's a squad thing at Celtic. He's probably got his first 11 in mind, to be perfectly honest with you, for the bigger games, and I think if he got to a semi-final or the next tough away game, I think you'll see Brendan Rodgers pretty much name the team. But I think what he's doing is he's making sure every single player on that team is going to end up probably with at least 12 appearances, 12 starts come the end of the season. They all feel part of it. You speak to all the players and they drop in and out of the team, but they're all happy, they all feel part of it, and they know they're on the verge of something really, really special this season.
Of course, I mean, no manager, no matter how good he is, can legislate for injuries. They can strike at any time, we know that. They can be in training, they could be in games, and I suppose you can look at it, he's also ensuring that if somebody suddenly has to come in, as you quite rightly point out, he's still had some game time. He's not completely rusty.
No, not at all. And it's in every single area. Gamboa, Izaguirre, they've all had their fair share of games this season. And I just think you look at Celtic and I just think they look fit, they look strong. There's guys coming back at good times. There's guys, you know, really playing in some... I mean, Scott Brown's been outstanding this season, but I think Scott Sinclair and Moussa Dembele's going to get all the plaudits. And quite rightly so, because he's only 20. He scored 26 goals. He's going to shatter all sorts of records this season probably, but I think Scott Sinclair's been Celtic's best player this season. I generally mean,
the confidence levels are, you know, sky high. I mean, you're looking at Mikael Lustig finishing in a way that his fellow Swede Henrik Larsson would have appreciated. Great first touch, left foot finish. But I mean, Moussa Dembele is just a phenomenon at the minute. You know, 27 minute hat trick against St Johnstone, 14 minute hat trick against Inver, phenomenal. What do you see his final tally for the season potentially be?
I mean, he's in 26 just now. There's potentially 17 games to go. I think 50 is probably stretching it, because he had that little kind of run where he was in and out of the team just because he was getting rested. He is so young, you need to remember he is only 20, and then he did a little injury. I think he would have stayed fully fit over that kind of period when Lee Griffiths kind of come back in.
40.
I think he could easily hit 40. He could easily hit 40 because in this form just now, I mean, he's got 6-2. Celtic have actually got a decent run of games coming up.
Yeah.
A couple of home games and everything. So, I think he could easily score. And Brendan Rodgers made the point at the weekend as well with Moussa Dembele that you're starting to see elements that Celtic are working on with him in terms of his hold up play, the way he's receiving the ball. And you can see from, I think it was his hat trick goal, he spun the centre circle, played James Forrest in. He'd done the same in the very first goal as well. So, I think his all round play is getting better. But I think at 20 it's frightening what you can go on and achieve.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored Scottish Sun Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm talking to the well respected David Friel. Moving on to Edinburgh matters, David. The Hearts Hibs Scottish Cup tie on Sunday, quite frankly, for me, that rated one of the worst, ugliest capital derbies I've ever seen. Your thoughts?
I wouldn't really disagree. I mean, I sometimes quite enjoy those games in the sense that it's
blood and thunder.
Yeah, it's quite tactical and it's quite intense and it's tense, and you know there's very few chances and both teams are getting really stuck in and there's a wee edge to the game and everything. But it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch.
I mean, Neil Lennon made it clear his team selection was very much not just experience. He packed the team with experience, but he was also mindful of the pitch. I thought he got it spot on with his team selection.
Yeah, he did. And Hibs showed. I mean, you looked at the Hibs bench and you had guys like Shinney and Humphrey, and you think that's guys that could probably add a bit. But Neil Lennon sent a team out to do a job. They were very, very solid. They were very physical.
Yeah.
And they matched Hearts. And I think the game was summed up. It was two teams that had a lot to lose. And you know, probably just meant they didn't go for the win that as much as they maybe would. You know, Hearts didn't want to lose in home soil with Hibs. Hibs are defending champions, are the holders of the Scottish Cup. They didn't want to go out to Tynecastle. It was a very cagey game, very few chances, and a real tactical battle. But I think the Easter Road game, Hibs will definitely approach it differently, but I think that might suit Hearts as well, because Hearts now, for me, have got a lot of good players in Midley Park. I think they're a good team to watch. I think Kincalves has been brilliant as well, so I think with more space, which I'm assuming Hibs will give them, I think it could be a fascinating replay.
No sitting in the fence here, David. Who's going through?
I think Hearts will go through.
Oof. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, fair enough. Big verdict. There's a midweek game at Pittodrie, David. Aberdeen, Motherwell, their game in hand. They have a chance to have a bit of daylight between them and Rangers in second place. Do you think Aberdeen will take this chance? Or, as they did last season, stumble when they really had to win?
I think they'll take the chance. I do. I think Aberdeen are in a good run of form just now. I think they're getting the job done. They lost at Celtic Park. Every team loses at Celtic Park this season, so I don't think Derry McInnes will be too disheartened at that. You know, I think to go and beat Ross County again at the weekend, tough venue.
Good win for them.
Grind out a 1-0 win. And yep. I think he's got a good thing going again. I think he's at the start of the season, he was maybe too guilty of changing his team and overthinking things. And Rooney was in and out, McGinn was in and out, Hayes was the kind of the constant. Madison was there, but I think he's now settled on his strongest team. He's got Ryan Christie, I think it's a really good signing for Aberdeen.
Yep.
I think they're hitting a bit of form and a real good run at an important time. And I can't see him slapping up against Motherwell. I think Motherwell have got some really good players and they are a threat, but I just think Aberdeen love too much for them. And I think it's going to be fascinating because I wouldn't discount Hearts as well from that race for second. You know, Celtic are away, Celtic have won the league, but I think the battle for second place is going to be really fascinating in the last couple of months.
David, excellent opinion analysis as always. Thank you very much.